You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is time to check in with Michigan radio sports commentator John U. Bacon. And boy, John, a lot of emotion on full display during the NFL draft. I have to say, I don't care who the player is and what team he's going to. It is hard to top the sheer excitement and joy of these players and the parents who get that phone call and they realize all those years of hard work paid off.
It's incredible. And what's incredible is this thing was not televised until pretty recently.
Yeah.
Archie Manning, Peyton and Eli Manning's father, when he was at Ole Miss, they showed up before his class, showed him a New Orleans Saints jersey, took a photo, and then he went to class. There was none of this. And now this is like killer TV where they spread it out into 3 days.
See, a huge crowds to watch. It is something.
Think about this, too. They're paying money to watch a middle-aged man get up there and announce a name. As drama goes, you wouldn't think it's a lot, but it does play.
Indeed. Well, so the Lions scooped up 9 new players in their 2019 draft class, and that first-round pick is tight end T.J. Hockenson out of Iowa. So what are your thoughts, pro and con, of how the Lions did?
On the pro side, T.J. Hockenson is considered by far the best tight end in the country. Detroit needs one. Matt Patricia is from the New England Patriots, where Gronkowski was their legendary all-pro tight end, Tom Brady's favorite receiver for a long, long time. So he's trying to rebuild the Patriots in Detroit. Flip side is, in 50 years of this, with 10 top 10 picks, that's 500 top 10 picks, only 13 tight ends have been picked, probably the fewest of any position, 2.6%. And 3 of them have been by the Lions, which tells you this is considered a fool's bet by other observers. So we'll see how it works out. Great tight end. The question is, could you get him in the second or third round? That's always the bet you're doing during the draft. So that said, they also got a lot of great help with defensive backs on the defense generally. And they're given about a B-plus overall by most prognosticators.
You think the Lions are better off today than a week ago before the draft?
Yes, because they sucked a week ago.
So when you think of players out of Michigan, are Michigan schools any surprises for you where players wound up?
Sure. I think that the Big Ten, by and large, did pretty well. They're in this never-ending battle with the South, and the South tends to win due to all kinds of natural advantages. But Michigan State had 2 players picked in the 3rd and 4th rounds, both defensive backs. When actually the lack of players that get drafted from Michigan State shows me what a great job D'Antonio does without a ton of star power. Whereas Michigan's got 5 picked, and they did quite well, of course. The shock on the Michigan side was Rashawn Gary, a third-year player out of New Jersey. He was picked anywhere between 2nd and 10th, they thought. But right before the draft, 2 things came out, both negatives. 1, does his right shoulder, the labrum, need surgery on it, which he'd been kind of nursing all last season. And 2, the Wonderlic score is the NFL's IQ, basically. And somebody leaked, some cruel, and we don't know if it's even accurate, person leaked that he got a 9 out of 25, which is obviously not high. But he is dyslexic, was diagnosed in 7th grade. He's an academic all-Big Ten player 3 years in a row. So he has worked very hard to work with this. So that was cruel. So those 2 things, people thought he might not even be in the 1st round, which costs you millions. And in fact, he is picked 12th. So his story worked out quite well. Green Bay Packers are a great organization, only like 5 in the NFL that I think are great. And before him, another surprise, Devin Bush Jr., the son of Devin Bush Sr., who went 26th overall when he was drafted by the Falcons way back when. His son went 10th, got jumped from 20 to 10 by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's also academic All-Big Ten, so 2 great stories there.
I want to get your thoughts about the news this past week coming out of the college basketball corruption trial of ex-sports agent and a Michigan native named Christian Dawkins, also an ex-Adidas consultant. And it's his second trial, right, stemming from this probe into this cozy world of sneaker companies and college basketball. He was sentenced in March to 6 months. Second trial began last week. So what is this all about?
It's about corruption. It's about what we've basically always known has been going on, but now it's being proven. I am frankly hopeful that some coaches I know who are phony do-gooders and are not get taken down. And not talking about the Big Ten here, just so you know. This guy's naming names. He's got not much to lose. It's his second trial, after all. But he has pointed out, as you and I have discussed, the Bowen story. Go ahead with this one.
Well, last Wednesday, the court heard this video recording. He brags about paying coaches and athletes, ties to top coaches. He had a text message with a list of 6 head coaches he was going to reach out to. To quote the text, "These are my main guys." Louisville's Rick Pitino and UNLV's Marvin Menzies. They were on that head coach list. They've both been fired. Arizona's Sean Miller was number one on the list, and MSU's Tom Izzo was on the list. What do I make from that? But first trial, the recruitment of Saginaw star Brian Bowen, that was involved in Dawkins' lawyer said Michigan State was one of the only schools that was not going to pay for Brian Bowen to go there. And he said MSU was one top program that didn't violate rules.
So we'll see what happens next. Look, UNLV, Pitino at Louisville, Arizona, Kansas has also been named. These are the least shocking names I've heard so far. Trust me on this one. So this now fits into the gap that we sports journalists deal with a lot, which is the gap between what you know and what you can prove, which is not the same thing. We have known this for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if Izzo is named. Apparently, there's some stirrings there, so we'll see what happens next. But Bowen is a guy he thought he had to the very end. At the last second, he goes somewhere else, which usually is a sign that someone has given you a bag of money.
And we should say, on that list, there, as they presented it in court, the list did not show whether any coaches were paid or whether Dawkins actually even talked to them. So, you know, but he called them my main guys.
And here's the next question is, okay, it's not hard to pick off a dirty player with a dirty agent. You got 85 scholarship football players every year. You got, you know, 15 or so, 12 scholarship basketball players. So it's not hard to do that. The question always is, does the money go through the coaches? Are they aware of it? Do they tacitly approve of it? Have they arranged this? Because one is a 20-year-old doing something stupid. The other is a corrupt 50-year-old coach. Big difference.
And so as this trial proceeds, what are you going to watch for?
Just that. Where the fingerprints are. Follow the money, still holds.
Michigan Radio Sports Commentator, John Eubank. And John, thanks so much.
Thank you.